Our present conference is on Christ, our truth. As often as we've read these words, reflected on them, Christ telling us, I am the way, the truth, and the life, we can always, and I'd say, we should always seek to more deeply and clearly understand them. Our principal source for telling us from every conceivable angle that Jesus is the truth is St. John. No doubt, historically, one reason was because by the end of the first century, there were so many erroneous teachings, and most pathetically, in what by then were called Christian circles. John wrote his gospel mainly to make sure that the followers of Christ knew that he and no one else is the truth. I would like to ask three questions, answer them in sequence, and especially the last one, apply the implications to our own spiritual lives. What is truth? How is Christ the truth? And how is Christ our truth? Now we're asking the question, what is truth? Is not Pilate's sarcastic, rhetorical question to Jesus? I like the Vulgate. Quid est veritas? What is the truth? What is truth? Truth is the agreement of the mind with reality. What do we mean? When what I think something is corresponds with what it really is, I have the truth. Conformity of mind with reality equals the truth. Provided what is on my mind is what really exists outside the mind, then I have the truth. But behind that, believe me, is a profound, unspoken truth. That we can know the truth. That we're not living in a world of illusion or make-believe. That there really is reality. There is a God. This God is not, Lord forbid, this God is not a projection of our own unsatisfied desires. God is real. And so are we. Consequently, if what is on my mind does not agree with reality, I do not have the truth. Most of the literature in a country like ours, most of the books written most of the periodicals read, most of the programs, and by now hundreds of thousands of hours of media time, most of that deals with make-believe. Oh, how we need to keep telling ourselves, there is a God. We do have a free will. There really is a life after death. There really is. Notice the accent we now place on really. What is the truth? The truth is that which my mind possesses when it conforms to what is outside of my mind. If I think there is a God, and there really is, then I have the truth. If the way I behave, the way I use my freedom in this life, determines my lot in the life to come, my mind conforms to reality. I have the truth. Oh, but I better have a source of this truth. Hence our second question. How is Christ the truth? Notice, Christ does not merely say that he teaches the truth. No, he tells us he is the truth. There is far more here than meets the eye. What does the Savior mean when he tells us, I am the truth? He tells us, first, that what he knows corresponds to what really is. Why are we so sure that what Christ knows corresponds to what really is? Because Christ is God. We come back again. Unless Christ is God, we cannot trust anything ultimately in this world. Christ's mind sees reality perfectly. Why? Because as God, he made everything. No second-hand knowledge in him. Who better than the maker of the world knows what the world is? Christ is God, made everything. He knows everything. Does Christ as God even know our inmost thoughts? Does he really know our inmost thoughts? Yes. Is it possible for us to have any thought, any desire, any impulse, any movement in our body or soul without Christ, who is God, knowing it? No. The implications are breathtaking. We are here merely stating the facts. How is Christ the truth? His mind is in perfect conformity with reality. Even as man, whatever he knows without a shadow of error. Moreover, even as man, Christ cannot be deceived. More than once in the Gospels we read, he read the secret hearts of those who were listening to him. So much for parts 1 and 2. Now, the most important thing I wish to share with you in trying to answer, how is Christ our truth? He is, first of all, our truth because he knows us through and through. The mind of Christ has a perfect, infallible image of who we are. And notice, not only in some general sense, because as God, he is our Creator, but in every passing moment of time, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to say in the next minute, though I have my notes in front of me. But Christ knows. He not only knows us now, he knows us at every moment from the present into the endless reaches of eternity. He therefore understands us. And if understanding someone is the foundation for loving that person, how profoundly Christ, our truth, what am I saying, is also our love. We go on. How is Christ our truth? He is our truth because what he knows, he shares with us. Remember that unexpected statement that he made to his disciples? I don't call you servants, but friends. Because whatever the Father has revealed to me, I have made known to you. One of my favorite definitions of friendship, friends are those who share secrets. Christ, therefore, is our truth because, and he knows far better than we, how much we need to know. He shares everything with us. He holds nothing back. How is Christ our truth? He is our truth because what he shares with us is what we must know in order to reach heaven and his own eternal company. When we say that Christ is our truth, we are saying not only that he reveals to us constantly, moment by moment, what we need to know about him, or what we need to know about ourselves, but also he keeps manifesting to us his will for us. One of the finest short dialogues you can read is between Augustine and a young man who was St. Augustine's son. The dialogue is about the teacher. And the teacher is Christ. And Christ dwells by his Spirit as God in the heart of our being always instructing us in such a way, says Augustine, that although we call many people teachers, the books we read, the classes we attend, the conferences we patiently listen to, says Augustine, we learn only as much from anyone else as the teacher who is Christ dwelling within us enables us to learn. How is Christ our teacher? He is our teacher because he dwells within us, and he is therefore our truth, because without him we would not know what we must do to gain eternal life. Over the years in teaching the theology of grace, I've told my students the famous passage of the Savior of the Last Supper, chapter 15, verse 5 of John. How could I forget? Without me you can do nothing. Means a lot of things. It first means, without me, you can know nothing. Oh, how we should betake ourselves to this divine teacher. We go on. He is our truth because, as he tells us, he, the truth, will set us free. Free from what? Free from deception. Deception by whom? By the world, by the flesh, and by the devil. One of our Jesuit priests some years ago died in the prime of life, had earned a medical degree, had a doctoral degree in psychiatry. I knew him quite well. He died suddenly. The Chicago Tribune published a front page obituary of his death. It was about two columns long. Other Jesuits knew him better than I. In less than 20 minutes, we found 24 factual errors in that short article. I quoted this statement more than once. The great philosopher of the modern media, Marshall McLuhan, in one of his letters to my confessor at the University of Ottawa, where I taught in Canada, the last line of that letter which he wrote said, "The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth." Amen. The world is deceptive. Christ can set us free. The world tells us this is the only life either that really exists or is worth living. That's a lie. Who says it's a lie? Christ, the truth. The flesh constantly plaguing us with desires, urges, impulses. What in effect does our fallen human nature keep telling us? Look, these are your desires. If you want to do something, comma, do it. What does Christ tell us? Our desires must be first sifted, then controlled. That's the truth. The devil was a deceiver from the beginning. In fact, he became the devil because he deceived himself into believing that true happiness consists in doing your own will. What a lie. What does Christ tell us? From the moment of his conception in Mary's womb to his birth at Bethlehem, through his years of poverty, of obedience, of perfect chastity, on to his persecution and crucifixion. Whose will was Christ doing? His Father's. And this is the hardest lesson that we have to learn. I know. Real honest to God, joy comes only. Underlined, encircled, emblazoned the adverb, only in doing the will of God. That's the truth. And that Christ not only taught, but lived. We're almost but not quite finished. Christ is indeed our truth, but it depends what a statement. It depends on us, on how much of this truth we accept. There is no one, especially in things of the Spirit, who is so blind as the one who will not see. Whatever else we need, and we need many things, this side of eternity, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing, that we need to know more than the truth. The truth about God, the truth about His will, the truth about ourselves. Hence the need for coming to know Jesus Christ by cultivating that one friendship on which all other friendships should depend, with Him. Easy. Conversational intimacy. When I deal with souls, depending on how much they allow me to see of God's grace in their lives, I gauge a person's nearness to God by that person's simple, childlike talking with Christ. Let's close with a very short prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, You are our truth. You are our contact with reality. Protect us from being deceived, especially by the devil, the father of lies. Deepen our understanding of You so that we may love You more ardently and serve You more generously. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.